Item number five, report and possible discussion on report of external audit plan by David Thompson, Chief Financial Officer. David.
Good morning. I have Aaron with me here. This is our third audit with Baker Tilly for our financial statements. And Aaron's going to walk you through the audit plan for next year, or starting this year. I always talk too soft. He'll be starting the external audit. We have started our interim audits already, and we look forward to another good year with Baker Tilly. So I'll turn it over to Aaron to walk through the plan. Maybe go to the next slide.
There we go. Perfect. Thank you, David. Good morning, everyone. Again, my name is Aaron Worthman. I'm the partner on the audit engagement, and I'm pleased to present the fiscal year 2021 audit plan. What I want to do first is just give an audit team introduction so you folks know the individuals leading your audit engagement. Then want to go through the audit plan, give you a little perspective into what is it that we do as part of our audit. Want to go through some required communications as you charge with governance, and then open up to any questions you folks might have. So for those that you know, aren't familiar with our firm or the individuals on the team, one of the good things is we're able to keep the same audit team. So we have the same senior manager, same partner, and same senior. Our firm and our group specifically specializes in working with entities such as yourselves. For instance, I work with San Antonio Water System as the lead audit partner, San Antonio River Authority, Guadalupe Blanco River Authority, and then also Lower Colorado River Authority, again conducting all the audits for your peer organizations in Texas. But the good news is it is the exact same audit team, so your staff isn't going to have to train me with your nuances or train our team with the nuances of your organization. So just to go through what we're doing, the biggest thing that we're going to do is provide an audit of your financial statements in accordance with U.S. generally accepted auditing standards. Those are the standards that we're required to follow as your audit firm. In addition to that, we'll also provide a report on internal control over financial reporting and on compliance and other matters in accordance with government auditing standards. Those are additional standards that have to do with our continuing professional education, the supervision of your audit team, due care while we conduct the audit, our independence, and then also quality control. If for some reason you had expenditures that exceeded $750,000 from the federal government, we would be required to perform a single audit, and that's being determined right now. And then we'll also issue, which you've seen in years past, our audit results letter that will include any significant deficiencies and material weaknesses that we detect as part of our audit process. I just wanted to let you know that I had mentioned earlier, we provide an audit opinion on your financial statements. We as an audit firm do not provide an opinion on internal controls. However, if we detect any material weaknesses or significant deficiencies in regard to the internal controls, we're required to communicate those to you like we have in prior years. Just to go over the field work, as David had mentioned, we wrapped up our preliminary field work earlier in July. Our final field work and review is scheduled for October and November, and we plan to present our audit and your financial statements in the December or January timeframe. Again, timelines consistent with prior years. So just to give you some perspective on what we do, if we were to take a step back and look at your audit, roughly 30% of what we do has to do with taking a look at your internal controls and testing those internal controls. And I would say most of that testing revolves around your information technology universe or your IT universe, which makes sense just given the dynamic nature of cybersecurity and the internal controls relative to that. So much so, in fact, that we have a certified information systems auditor as part of our audit team that goes about and conducts that testing. But that's about 30% of what we do. 40% about what we do then is relative to substantive tests. That would be confirming your cash and investments, taking a look at the fair values of those investments, taking a look at your fixed asset additions, the retirements, taking a look at your disbursements. But again, that's 40% of what we do. And that's generally what we call would be the nuts and bolts of our audit, if you will. And then the remaining 30% has to do with taking a look at your financial report and then the planning of our audit engagement. Part of what I've done here is I've shown the areas of significance. And I think if you were to review these, most wouldn't come as any surprise. You know, obviously, we're going to spend a significant time looking at IT, your accounts receivable, your billing practices, your capital assets, since that makes up a majority of your balance sheet. We'll take a look at your significant estimates, the biggest being your pension liability. And then again, spend a significant amount of time on your financial reporting. You've received a letter from us that is what we call our pre-audit communication letter. There's a lot of good information in there about the audit process. But one thing that I definitely wanted to let you folks know is this, if you were to go back maybe, I don't know, 6-7 years ago, all the audit communication used to be one way. You'd have the audit firm come in and they'd present their audit results. Maybe they would have done a pre-audit plan and communicated that to you. But part of what we're required to do is have a two-way communication in that we want to make sure you as governance have input into the audit process. So what we'll do, there's a number of things. We have fraud risk interviews with many individuals throughout your organization where I'll discuss their thoughts on fraud, internal controls, areas of significance, areas of concern they have. Some of those individuals will be board members, so I'll have those communications. But certainly, if any of you have any thoughts or concerns about the audit process or things that you want to discuss with me and provide input, certainly you can do that in this forum, or otherwise you can reach out to me offline and we can have those discussions. But again, we definitely welcome those thoughts. And then lastly, we're looking forward to another successful audit with the authority. We anticipate this year's audit should go pretty smoothly. If we take a look at the year, for the most part, aside from COVID, it really should be a straightforward audit. There's no major accounting changes on this year's audit, so should be, in our experience, should be very straightforward and pretty much a very efficient audit from what we can tell. So definitely look forward to working with your staff, but with that, I'll open up to any questions that you folks might have.
Any questions? Director Sanderson.
I gather you currently don't have an expectation of having a single audit.
Pardon? As of right now, that has not been determined. Do you happen to know?
Okay. At the budget level, though, you didn't show yourself getting close to the 750.
That's with federal funding.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Probably not. Okay. On your focus, on your current year focus versus the prior year focus, can you give us any kind of a analysis of that? Is there any change whatsoever as far as the focus slide is concerned?
Sure.
Probably not.
So, last year we did conduct the audit, I guess, under the COVID environment. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have a very, you know, we'll be looking at a little two ways this year. We'll still be looking at some of the COVID processes, but we also understand individuals are back in the office. So the big thing that we're going to be doing is, has there been any changes in the processes, the controls, things like that from the, you know, the COVID environment that we came into and then starting to transition out of. So again, a big thing is looking at any changes. The good news, as I had mentioned earlier, there are no significant accounting changes this year. So that should make this process easier. And I believe at the tail end of this year, you also have a new ERP system, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. So as part of that, we'll be taking a look at some of those things as well. Again, if those happen within the audit period.
Right. As far as your analysis and documentation of the internal control environment, what do you see as far as updates this year versus the prior year?
So our audit plan for IT changes every year. There's rotational testing that we do. So to take a step back, if we were to look at some of the major processes that we test controls over and test the controls, those would be your payroll and your disbursements. If those controls haven't changed, we do not have to do a full test of controls over those. So this year we'll go about and conduct those disbursement testing. For the other processes, we have to run some transactions through there just to validate and make sure those processes haven't changed. Same thing with taking a look at the information technology. There's general information technology controls we need to look at, but we are able to rotate some of those. So every year, as part of this process, our certified information systems auditor will look at any additional risks identified and, again, any major changes. We'll continue to look at deprovisioning and provisioning user access to your IT systems and things like that. But for the most part, again, as long as these controls and areas haven't changed, should be a fairly consistent audit plan. Now, I had mentioned earlier about these SAS 99 risk interviews. If anything comes to our attention that someone says, hey, we think you really need to look at our procurement a little closer because someone has a feeling that there may have been some circumvented controls or they just have concerns, we would put those into our audit plan. As of now, through those discussions, no concerns have been brought to our attention. But certainly those would be areas we'd look at if you as governance or somebody in management had controls over things like that.
With respect to you brought up a good for example with respect to, say, the procurement processes and the environment, and maybe doing some testing of how the procurement processes are happening. Mm-hmm. Is that something you expect to have any focus on this year? And how did you focus on that last year, if at all?
Sure. So what we would have done last year, we would have looked at the controls over those processes. Mm-hmm. And as long as, and again, we sample, as long as we didn't identify any issues with the sample, we wouldn't have to do additional testing. And again, I just gave that as an example.
Was there any additional focus at all in that particular area?
There was not. Because we didn't run into any issues.
Okay. On slide number 7, I noticed you talked about the process and the folks that you talk to and all that kind of stuff. I think we have an admin and a finance or slash audit committee of some sort, do we not here? I didn't see that mentioned anywhere on that slide, so I'm just wondering how that fits into the picture.
Would we present the final?
Go back to slide number 7, if you don't mind, or page number 7.
So in January, we'll bring to the board, and Aaron will be back again, and we'll have the audit and admin committee first, usually at 8 o'clock that morning, and then go into the regular sessions on the board meeting to discuss the audit, completion of the audit.
That's fine. I just noticed that none of that was even mentioned, even the existence of a committee was even motioned.
That's the procedure we followed last year, and we'll continue to do that this year.
All right, good. All right, that's it for me.
Okay.
All right.
Appreciate it.
All right, thank you very much. Thanks, Director Sanderson, for all your questions.
My pleasure.